Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today we are right in the middle of the first week of season two, and I'm sharing Bermudian stories, and I am so happy to have Diasta here with us. So Diasta, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Diasta Asento, as Tisha said. Sorry, I'm going to call it Tisha throughout this whole entire quarter. As she says, I'm Bermudian. I'm a mom of two beautiful children, Noah and Hannah. I'm a survivor. As we go through my story, you'll see why I am absolutely for this movement of survival stories because of my journey. This is me.
The reason why she can call me that is we have literally known each other since we were seven. So I'm super excited to be able to give you the platform, Diasta, to share your story, and audience, I hope that you can take a lot out of it. So let's kick it right off. How would you describe survival mode?
Survival mode. Okay. To me, survival mode has different faces, right? It's that I'm a mom of two. So survival mode for me, being a mother, is trying to paddle with the water like right here sometimes and having to navigate being a mom of a boy and a girl that's going through their growth spurt and development challenges, and then all of the sociological and society impacts that impact them while I'm trying to raise them in my home with my standards and things like that. So having to survive that is, it's not really faint of heart, right? As you know, being a mom. So I would relate survival mode most like to autopilot. Sometimes like you have, you know, it comes a space where, you know, you're just running of the mill And then you realize, hey, that's when the light hits you. Hey, something's got to shift. And then you make the plan and provision to not be in that space and to just kick it up a notch and to actually go out and push forward and to do the things that you really set forward to aspire to achieve.
I agree with you. Autopilot rings true with most of my guests. Like, that is the one word that comes up so often. It's just us navigating life without, sometimes without executive decision. It's just us showing up and doing what we can when we can while trying to manage every other area of our lives. So, Dee, tell us your story to and through Survival Mode.
To and through survival mode. So again, many different faces. I will take it back. I would say my journey to leave Bermuda and seek higher education. Right? I was stuck on a small. Do you tell your people how big Bermuda is? Do they really know? They
Yeah,
really
21
know.
square miles.
Limited resources that we have and everything, and I'm just like, oh God, help me, because this is not it. I was about 22. I started late in my journey, so to speak, and I'm like, this isn't it. This island isn't for me. I felt big. I felt called definitely to a bigger purpose. So I said, whatever's out there, I'm gonna find like whatever, wherever, however, I just need to get out. And so I ended up at Seneca College in Toronto, studying building systems engineering, right, and renewable technology. And I say that to say, being a Black female from the island of Bermuda, right, it's an unknown, right, studying this unknown field, I was very much alone for most of my journey. And my family didn't understand it. They didn't understand why I had to go so far to achieve this career that they never heard of. So I had to go through that process alone. And it was very much a pivotal turning point in my life, because I realized that it was just me. Even though I came from a big family, even though I came from all of my circumstances and situations, at the end of the day, it was just me. And throughout my story, it's pretty much the same, right? You get into that space where you realize it doesn't matter who's around you, it's just you. And you have to press through and do what you need to do for yourself, right? So I went through that experience. I graduated, came back. Great. You know, first Black female in this industry. I come back, I'm like, got my papers, I'm like, I'm gonna revolutionize Bermuda, and every door was shut in my face, right? Because again, who am I with this new concept coming to this small island, right? Wanting to revolutionize renewable energy back then. And so it took me a while of self-discovery, 7 years to be exact, before I landed a job within my field. So that 7 years was a part of my survival myth, right? And just having to do whatever to make ends meet. Long story short, I ended up in front of the engineering director at Hamilton Princess in ooh, 20, about 11, 12 years ago. Do the math, somebody. And they said, they were intrigued by my story, by my journey, because, you know, back at the time, you know, having worked in construction industries, energy, white paper, different things like that, they were intrigued by it. They had to create a position for me in order to come into the industry doors. It was hospitality. I've never worked in hospitality before, but it's what I wanted to do. And here I am now, almost 10 years later, assistant director of engineering and sustainability champion. So I am making a huge impact, not only for Hamilton Princess, Bermuda's leading hospitality. We lead, we absolutely lead in every component in Bermuda's hospitality sector, but we are also environmental stewards and we lead in that space as well. And that's through me pushing through and seeing that glass ceiling and kicking it open. And it's having the wonderful support of our ownership and our leadership team, but also knowing that sometimes we have to stand alone, and it's okay because, I haven't told you the rough, jagged parts of how I got there, but feeling abandoned and abusive relationships along the way, and I've been children with a man who was horrible to me. All that led up to me still pursuing my goal and pursuing my passion. It's really about digging within, finding who you are at the core, and being relentless and holding on to that and not letting go until something breaks. And hopefully it's not you. But you have to be rough and tough with life, because it is rough and tough with you, and it's unapologetic.
I agree with you. Like, as someone who has done everything outside of the walls that were constructed for me, right? Like, the path that was constructed for me. Like, for those who don't know, I have a sister who's a doctor, I have a sister who's a lawyer. And while I have had multiple careers over time, I know there was a huge resistance when I walked away from my commercial insurance job. Like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do that? Like, you work at Lloyd's of London. Why would you go outside the box when you're already successful? And while I'm supported heavily, I didn't feel the need to explain the fact that I was seeking fulfillment. I was seeking contentment, and I wanted to create a path of my own. But as a result, that path was very lonely because people just didn't understand. And it's not that they wanted to hold me back or anything, but it wasn't what they expected from me, especially when I have a doctor to contend against and a lawyer to contend against. And I wouldn't say that my mama ever compared us. But I felt some kind of way because I was walking away from what was considered to be good and decent and the right thing to do.
Living.
What would you say were some of the biggest lessons you learned about yourself along the way, like while you were having to learn how to survive and do it all on your own? You are rewriting narratives. You are working beyond traumas, which, you haven't brought up, but what we're going to just say anyway, right? Like, you're working beyond all of this. So, what did you learn about yourself during this process?
So, in March of 2019, when we were in the midst of that global pandemic, right? The world was harsh enough, right? And I literally remember it like yesterday. I was with the father of my children. And just something simple happened. Like, I don't know, he done something he weren't supposed to. That's just like, I'm tired of this. I'm not dealing with it anymore because I'm just tired of having this conversation with this man. So he attacked me. And it was a brutal attack in front of. The attack was so brutal that it actually woke up my children. They were very small at the time. And it was like, okay, this wasn't the first attack, right? But it was the first attack that I didn't fight back. I didn't resist. I said, okay, one of two things will happen. Somebody is not leaving this house, or I would not be able to see my children. It was that moment. And it took everything inside of me to let go. And I'm saying to let go, not of the situation, but of myself and everything that I have put on myself and bottled in for so long and said to myself, Diasta, you are worth it. Because he had me in this space where I felt like I wasn't enough. And literally, that moment when he looked at me, and when people say you see something in somebody, And I looked into this man's eyes and I literally saw the devil. And I'm like, I am enough. And I tell my God, you will get me out of this house tonight. And I will never look back. And he was my everything at the time, right? The man I was going to spend the rest of my life with, and he whistles. And I couldn't believe what I was going through. Not in the severity of it, not for something that seems so simple and so trivial, but the way in which he attacked me and brutalized me in front of my young children. Like my son had to bite him to get him off of me, right? It was at that moment when I said, enough is absolutely enough, right? Because remember, that time I was getting all of the accolades, the career was going, I was, this was happening on the outside, that was happening on the outside, but in my home, a horrible place. It was a horrible place to be. And I didn't want to leave because I wanted to be safe. I wanted the father of my children to be with his children, to be with me, right? We were engaged. We were, it was a thing that I knew that if I didn't let myself go that night, I would have lost everything. I would have lost it all. And from that experience and having to deal with him and opening up the Pandora's box, so to speak, because I thought he was bad to me up until that point. But then, after even having to deal with the children and co-parenting and him taking me to court for access that he really didn't want, he just didn't know how else to fight me. It was like I had to define who I was. Yeah, because it's, and it's not him per se, the man, but it's the spirit behind him as a man. Yeah. And I had to define that I was way more valuable than any demonic force that came to kill, steal, or destroy me.
That's powerful, Diastole. And a lot of people don't recognize that being in relationships and going through, let's call a spade, going through abuse. Oftentimes, when we're in those relationships, we think that we have experienced the worst of it. And when we leave, there is this sometimes naivety that everything kind of just falls into place. What people don't recognize is that post-separation abuse is a real thing. Reactive abuse is a real thing. And a lot of times when we come out of these environments where we are have been controlled in some way by our partners, they don't take it lightly. When we get up and walk away.
Like,
And
who
what
is
they
this
do
client?
is they make our lives absolute hell. When I left my first husband, he stalked me for nearly 2 years. And that was with a restraining order. That was with me having to call the police. And let me tell you, it was embarrassing calling the police on a small little island like Bermuda. You know who came to my house? Shanae. Okay. Like, and I'm calling someone that we both went to school with. This
Yeah.
is embarrassing. You know what I mean? Like, Shanae, okay? Like, this is embarrassing. And she's coming in my house calling me Tisha too. Like, like not Miss Smith, not, and it's so hard to navigate. And oftentimes, like, we do what we need to do to take control of our lives. We do what we need to do to get out of these circumstances. And it's not an easy switch. It's not an easy transition because of what we're dealing with an individual, right? Yeah, it's not easy. But I celebrate the fact that you chose you in that moment. And I loved what you said about having to let you go, because I talk about this often on this podcast, right? The person who we become in order to survive the circumstances we're in is not the same person that eventually thrives. But we hold on to that person. We hold on to our trauma responses. We hold on to the residual impact of trauma, and it shows up in our lives day in and day out. until we learn to let that person go. And whenever I talk about accident survival mode, I talk about it in three phases. I say the first is self-awareness. We can't change what we can't see. Oftentimes, it takes something incredibly shocking. In your case, like, my son had to bite him to get me off of him. I have to do something here, right? Then it's the second step is that reprogramming, right? Like for you, it was like, no, I am worthy. I don't deserve this. But oftentimes we don't challenge that because we get settled into our circumstance. We kind of forget who we are as a result of the things that we go through, right? And we pick up these narratives often projected onto us by other people, which then becomes the way in which we view ourselves. And until we can challenge that, until we can change that, until we can rewrite that, nothing in our lives really changes, right? And then the third phase is a reinvention, being able to decide as of today, this is who I am. This is what I accept. These are my boundaries. And being able to operate from that space is key. And it's also incredibly liberating for us to get to that stage. But it takes a lot of work.
The work that it has taken, like I said, you really have to dig deep. About a couple of months before the incident happened, I had launched a platform for women called BU, and I thought I was it. Right? Because I'm like, I'm going to hold space for women and I'm going to give them tools on how to navigate through life and motherhood and all the things, you know. Because at the time, like I said, everything was perfect on the outside. I had the things that I, my to-do list was pretty much checked off, right? The only thing left to do was the marriage, and that was being planned. But everything was going well. But it just felt like in my spirit, I'm just like, but it's something I feel that it's not quite there. You know, like I can relate to women of, you know, I can just relate to women despite their circumstance, background, or whatever. I relate to women because it's love, right? It's holding space and knowing that we are the same. We are the same. Right, we might, like you said, you think you're isolated, but you're really not, because you know there is someone out there that's going through a similar situation, and you know no one knows the exact feelings or trauma that one has to endure, but at least they can hold space and be empathetic and just love on them and just we're not alone. That was my thing. So I had this platform and I launched it. I was doing really well. We had several sessions, but it was still not right. But then I felt like something was still missing. And then after this incident where I had to learn, reinvent myself, use my own teachings on myself, I realized that if you do not take time for yourself to know not necessarily who you are at that particular moment, but to go back to the little girl, that broken little girl, and hold her, figure out who she was, figure out what she needed to be strong, to be brave, to be kind, to be ambitious, right? Then you would never be able to continue on your journey. Because most of us, that's where our deficiencies lie, right? Something happened. Whether we try to cover it up, whether somebody said something to us, done something to us, made us feel ashamed or abandoned or hurt. It's like we cover up, we mask her. And she is the most important aspect of us as a female, and speaking to females, right? She is the most important aspect of us because she allows us to continue to love and thrive and to create. Because women, we are creators, right? We are creators. We have to fix her We have to take time out for her. And then we build. Because we can have all the things. I had all the things, but something was still broken inside of me. And it wasn't until I figured out her and what she needed, I was able to stand and say, okay, this is now who I need to be in order to move forward.
And that's such a key point. There's this picture that I kept coming across over the weekend, and well, meme, and it was like, I became the woman I needed as a child. I
Absolutely.
became, or something like that. Like, I became the protector of, like, I'm not saying it correctly, but it basically said I became who I needed in order to get beyond. And as you say, like a lot of us, we experience things in childhood. It may, for some of us, it may not be as severe as others, but it leaves a lasting impression because when we are that young, we don't know how to process events with significant emotional intelligence or even enough understanding of what's going on, right? Like, I often talk about how the way that I operate in life, I've learned how to cruise control in life, and I can pinpoint that back to primary school when I was in P5. It was identified that I was operating years above everyone else. And I actually heard one of the teachers making very negative comments about me, which then forced me to kind of shrink because I was quickly labeled as a problem. I wasn't a problem, I was bored. And nothing was done to ease my boredom, but it was quick to label me as an issue, right? But because of that, I learned when you operate in your fullness, it makes people uncomfortable. And when they're uncomfortable, they label you. So you can show people everything that you have or your full strength. So I learned to just keep it small, do just enough to get by. And my just enough was blowing people's minds, but I wasn't blowing my own. But now that I'm in my 40s, I'm still learning how to get past cruise control because it became my norm. It became who I was because I learned very quickly that if you make other people uncomfortable, then you're not accepted. And I had to go back to that girl who was labeled, who felt like she was too much as she was, and reparent her and relove her and let her know it was okay for her to show up authentically so that I can do that today.
Tish, I think you just solved the world. You just solved the world's problems, and you need to patent that because that's all it is. And it's human nature, really, if you look at it. It's human nature for us to want to fit in, right? And but when you fit in, when everybody blends in and we look the same, you don't get noticed. You don't get called exceptional. You don't get called successful. You just blend in. And then when you say, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of blending in. And you take that one step out, and everyone's looking at you like, what's this doing? That's where the labels come in. But it's when you take it one step further. And you stand in your purpose and you dig down deep and you say, this is me. Take it or leave it. And when you step out on faith, so to speak, or when you just step out, you become yourself. You be you. You become the authentic, like you said, the authentic version of who you are, right? You break the mold, you kick down that ceiling. Right? That's where greatness lies. That's how you get to becoming great. That's you can, through the history of time, anyone that has ever achieved anything would have had to pass that barrier from fitting in to stepping out to just saying, I am who I am. Take it or leave it. And that's it. That is the secret to success. There is nothing else other than that.
The audacity to be authentic
Authentic.
is that's
Absolutely.
it.
That's it.
That's
That's
it.
the formula. It's nothing else. Because what else is it? Because if not, you're fitting in.
But see, we're conditioned in ways that doesn't allow that exponential specialness to shine through, right? Like it's conditioning from school age. I mean that, and people
Sit
who
in
have, please
the
listen, I'm going to say it. I was so traumatized by the school system. That is the reason why I homeschool my kids. And damn, people look at my kids and they don't have filters. They don't. They are who they are unapologetically at 6 and 7, and people don't get it. But many of us spend 30 years. They go through the school system for 12, and then we spend 30 years trying to figure out who the hell we are because of what was stripped away from us to keep everyone else around us comfortable. And then that becomes the narrative in which we show up in everything else, right? And I just think there's so much more to life than fitting in and keeping everyone else around us comfortable, or even just ticking the boxes that everyone says that we need to tick. We aren't taught how to find our purpose. We aren't taught how to love ourselves. We aren't taught how to reparent ourselves. We aren't taught how to be authentic.
Correct.
And
Correct.
all of those things is what keeps us out of survival mode.
Absolutely. Oddly enough, and I love how life twists and turns sometimes. I, drawing back to my career, I began to step back and blend in because I, at one point, and I didn't even think it was on purpose, I was just like being ambitious, right? But just wanting to do my best, which caused me to get the accolades and, to enhance my career. But then I got to a point where it's like, you're just like, well, I'm not, it just became like blah. Right? I don't know how else to term it, but it's just like, it's like, no idea that I presented was good enough. It was always given feet, given criticism and different things like that. I'm just like, well, let me just sit back, right? Let me take a back seat. And I didn't realize it months had passed. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm blending in again. I'm not speaking up. I'm not adding to, any meetings of being productive. I mean, I was doing my job. I wasn't neglecting anything, but I didn't have that same passion. And so being in a work environment, a corporate work environment, sometimes it gets like that, to be honest, right? You just blend in because we're all being conditioned, right? But my job switched it up and we've done some training because it's hospitality and we've got to deal with people and we're going to be bouncy and smiley and happy to everyone all the time. La da da da. Even me, who I work behind the scenes and I'm not in a customer faced area. But we've done some training and it really did challenge us to dig deep and to be authentic. Because how do we serve if we do not know who we are? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm working on this at home and then I get to come to work and they help me to work on it. How amazing is this? And so it just solidified and strengthened the journey that I'm on, right? And it the messaging tied up it together. And it's just like you really, if you're going through trauma, trauma's bad enough. Trauma is bad enough, right? Abuse, trauma, all of those things is bad enough. But to be stuck in it and to hold on to it for an extended period of time, it continues to eat us from the inside out, right? We neglect our health, we neglect our relationships, we neglect our faith and our commitments, and it just continues to manifest This, I call it this cancerous ball that lies within us. So we have to be able to take a moment and just look at ourselves, whether you literally physically have to sit in a mirror, I mean, sit in front of a mirror and look yourself in the eye and say, you are enough. Whatever they did, however they did it, so far. You're not walking in it. You're not got it. You, yes, it happened. And I've been through it. Like I said, I've been through the things. But you have to fight for you. What, last week on the 12th, last month on the 12th, September the 12th, I celebrated my 1 year from my surgery of ovarian cancer, right?
D.
But I'm here. I'm still cute. I'm still bouncing. I'm still living my life. Because life is freaking hard and stuff comes at us and we just have to keep on going. I mean, yeah, I had to recover for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, but life didn't stop for me. My children still had to be fed, still had to go to school, still had to do their activities. Life didn't stop for me. It felt like it. But life keeps on going. So we have to keep on moving forward. We have to do the things, and the things hurt sometimes and it breaks us at our core. I've been faced on ugly cries, snot cry, oldie cries many times. Many. I lost my loved ones. I've lost my cousin just before Christmas to senseless gun violence. My birth cousin, right? So it hits my family too. Person that's not even in this whole thing, but you know, he's black and in Bermuda. So hey, let's shoot out. Hurts. Hurts. Really does hurt. Man, 2 months after that, another one. Not through violence, but on a bike accident. Just up and going. Life hurts. I've seen my family in this past 12 months. We had to go through some hard, hard times. Together, losing babies, losing loved ones. Sucks. Cancer. It's running rampant in our island. And I'm sure it's running rampant all around the world. Zim has become like people were immune to it.
Before there was a time where you said cancer and it was like, what? And now it's like, you got cancer. This process, okay, you know, hope you make
Let me
it.
get.
But no, but we get so desensitized, right? Like even going back to that gun violence in Bermuda, when we were growing up, there was one murder a year, and it was usually a boyfriend against a girlfriend, a husband against a wife. It was, yeah, it was different. And in these last couple of years, the way that we have become so desensitized when we hear, oh, another one shot dead, or, you know, it was a shooting last night, and we don't take into consideration the families. We don't take into consideration the children at times, right? And people have to struggle through grief when everyone else doesn't even seem to care.
Life goes on. My
Life goes on.
grandfather was, yeah, he was 88 at the time to tell him that his grandson passed to gun violence. I think was one of the roughest things. And he watched my grandmother die of COVID. He was in the house with her, right? And so, but to tell this grandman who served in the war, as a war vet, his grandson, who went to check his girlfriend one night, was shot down because he is in the wrong neighborhood. It's unbearable, really. And he had a daughter, his daughter. He was the sole parent for his daughter. He done everything for his daughter. And so that's another child, a female without a father. And it hurts. It hurts each one of us. You know, and I'm losing. Yeah, it's just, it's tragedy, it's trauma, it's all of those things. And it eats us as a community. And I think that our life and our own personal stories are enough tragedy. But then when we have to endure this as a community, it's like, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we stand, sort of thing. And people are asking all of the questions and they want answers. They need answers. We deserve answers. But it really is up to each individual person. And I know your audience is vast and wide and it's not just localized to Bermuda, but we all have a duty to ourselves to be who we are at the core. We weren't designed or fashioned or shaped to be stuck in life. We were built to serve. We were built to love one another. We were built to transition this life into something great. Yeah, we were built to raise children, to speak with their authentic voice, and to have an opinion. We were born to be more than what the society has given us. And it's really been unfair across the board. It's been unfair. As humanity, each one of us right now on this earth, we are being treated so unfairly.
I agree with you, and I what it anchors, what that anchors in for me is our responsibility to heal and our responsibility to find purpose, our responsibility to find our worth, right? It's so easy to get swept away by circumstance. It's so easy to get lost behind what we've been through. And like you mentioned earlier, like we have to get to know ourselves, right? Like I always say, it's know, like, trust and accept, right? We,
I like that.
it like so much so, like I didn't know who I was when I walked away from my first marriage, right? Like at that point, whenever I had defined myself or described myself to someone, I was either someone's child, like, oh, I'm Marilyn's child, or I'm this person's girlfriend slash wife or whatever it was at the time, right? And I walked out of that relationship with contention in all of my other interpersonal relationships because of that. And now I'm sat here like, okay, yes, I'm Simmons's daughter, but they're not speaking to me. Yes, I'm Simmons's niece, but they're not speaking to me. Yes, I'm this and that. But so who am I beyond that? Who am I beyond this person that got stabbed? Who am I beyond this person? I didn't know who I was. And a huge part of me healing and growing is defining that without ties, without expectation, unapologetically, right? Because I had spent so much time considering what everybody else wanted from me that I got lost in the hustle and bustle of life.
Absolutely.
And because of that, I didn't like myself because of what I went through. Because of that, I didn't trust myself because of the decisions that led me to the horrible places that I saw myself in. And then, I had heard from young, you're too much, your mouth, you girl, just stop. Who do you think you are? I had to accept all of that about myself, right? Instead of continuing with the label, instead of continuing with that narrative. And it wasn't until I did that that I actually found contentment and peace in my life, right? And that allowed me to anchor into my purpose. But one of the things that I always say, and I used to have another podcast, and this is how I used to end it. I used to tell people, we need to walk as if every step we're about to take is going to create an avalanche, right? Because the sole reason why we're here is to change the world. It's
So
not to suffer, it's not to just exist. We all have a purpose to make some sort of change. And until we get to that point where we realize our purpose and we're actually taking steps towards our purpose, life is just life.
I agree 100% with that. 100%. And similarly, I would say we also have to watch our mouth. And watch our mouth, meaning watch what we put in our mouth, watch what we say with our mouth, watch the thoughts we put inside of our head. It still comes through our mouth, right? The things we say about ourselves and the things we say about others. And the reason I say that is because we all heard, as a man, think it's so easy. But if you consistently put negative things inside of your head and you consistently allow other people's thoughts and words to infiltrate your space, right? It compiles, and the suppression, depression, oppression, everything that it pours on top of you, it's real, right? And you remain stuck. So watch what you put inside of your mouth, the things that we feed ourselves. And I've been susceptible to put in so much junk inside of my body. And it's not only for a health reason, physically, it's a mental health as well, because that also suppresses your mind and your ability to be creative. Because like I said, we are creative, right? So it's literally, we have a mandate. If we want to be better people, we have a mandate to ourselves to protect ourselves. Everyone's going to do what they want to do. They might do it to us, they might do it around us, but it's what we do to ourselves at this particular point, because we're old enough to make these decisions, right? It's what we do to ourselves ultimately that makes a difference. Yeah.
Absolutely. I have really enjoyed this conversation, Dee.
I love you.
Yes, girl. So tell us a little bit more about how we can connect with you online. Tell us about BU. Tell us all the things, girl.
This is where you challenge me, because as I said, I am in the process of rebranding, not so much the product of what it is, but rebranding me and what BU stands for. Because remember, I said I thought I knew everything back then when it started, but now through this journey, I was like, now this is what I needed to So I'm in the process of just rewriting my strategy, really. BU is still there. It's BU.consulting on Instagram. It's still there. My partner and I are reworking it a bit to make it more relevant to the people that will come to be served. Yeah. And we still will hold space for women. We still will equip them with the tools. We love to do like intimate grounding sessions to connect with nature, connect with self, connect with each other, build that form of community. So those events are coming out in the next couple of months. I'm excited about that. But I also want to host dinner parties. The winter's coming. We can cook and do sorts of other things, some fun things, some family friendly things as well, just so that we can begin to have a conversation of where we are, right? And just to reignite who we are at the core, because that's my thing. Like, who are you really? When you take off the mask, like when I go here this week, will come off, the makeup will come off, everything will come off. You know what I mean? So who am I really? I mean, I don't mind it. I like to dress up or whatever, but who am I at the core? Yes. And without the mask, without the stuff on, like, who are you as an individual? And then begin to build on, no, who do you need to be in order to be you, the real version of who you are? Yeah. So that will, we're aiming to relaunch on the 15th of October. So yes, be you. You dot consulting on Instagram, and hopefully by then Facebook as well.
Okay, thanks for sharing. So before we wrap it all up, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
The key takeaway for your beautiful audience, and thank you everyone who has committed to you, Tish, committed to sharing space with you. The key takeaway and challenge and call to action, I would say, is to join us. And I'm actioning you too, Tish, right? So I'm
Yes.
saying join us for the next 3 months, because it's what it pretty much wrapping up 2025. to lock in. You might hear a lot of people talking about the lock in right now, but I am challenging you to really dig deep and identify one. Who is it that you need? Who is that person, that little person that you need to reconnect with? At what stage do you need to go back and find them and love on them and tell them that it is okay? Right? Then you need to identify what is it that you have to offer to yourself? Yeah, because you offer a lot to your children, your spouse, your parents and this and that. Like, what do you have to offer to yourself? Is it just love? Is it just waking up at 5:30 and spending an hour with yourself in the morning to identify what the peace that you need? And then the third thing is write a letter to yourself, dated January 1, 2026, and you create a story for yourself from now, and you write that story for yourself for 2026 as if you've already living in it. Yeah. What are the things you want to accomplish by then? Be realistic, because if you don't write it down, if you don't create a plan and a path and a purpose for yourself, no one's going to come and save you and do it for you. Nobody's going to get you out of where you are. You have to do it for yourself. What are the things you like? What do you look like? What have you accomplished? What have you done that's special for your parent or your child? Something, one little thing that only you can give them. What time have you spent with yourself? Yeah, I'm calling you to lock in for the next 3 months and be intentional about it. What next chapter? What next book you're gonna write, girl?
Exactly. I love it. So, Diasa, listen, thank you so much for your time today. I really have, as I said, enjoyed this conversation. And audience, thank you for catching another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I just want to remind you that you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. So disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your end terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracks something open on purpose, because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.